Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
You might think that one of the greatest challenges facing Christian faith in Australia is to turn around the demise of lots of churches and the decline in numbers of people connecting in any way with church. In this day and age, that's a big job. The latest comprehensive snapshot of the Aussie population found that fewer and fewer people have ever met a person with Christian faith or heard the Christian message. But there's a push on in Australia called the Geneva Push, named after the city where the evangelical reformer John Calvin did most of his ministry, raising up lots of people to plant churches in other cities and countries. Hundreds of years after that happened, can it happen again? The director of the Geneva Push is Al Stewart, a former bishop. And before you paint a picture of him in your head from that, he's a man who, among other things, loves going bush and, let's say, dueling with wild boars. Al Stewart, welcome to Open House.
Thanks, Lee. Great to be here.
Great to have you with us. Al, do you have to go to church to be a Christian?
Well, going to church doesn't make you a Christian, but if you love and serve the Lord Jesus, you will want to meet with other people who do that. And it really is a part of just your life supply, if you like. As a Christian, you want to meet with other people, care for them. See, God doesn't call us to be individuals. God calls us to be part of a community, and I think actually the word church is probably closer to what we mean by community. The word means a gathering, but to be a Christian, you'll be part of a community of people who love Jesus and love each other.
When you say the word church, I think in most people's minds they picture a building. Do you have to have a building?
No, you don't. Our little church on a Sunday afternoon doesn't have a building. It helps if it's raining, but it's not the building.
Yes, I bet.
I think people think either building or denomination or institution, and they're not necessarily bad things, but they can get in the way of seeing the real heart of the matter, which is a gathering of people who love Jesus and love one another and welcome new people into that community.
My guess is you'd take this task on of planting churches with your eyes wide open, not underestimating the great challenge that this will be in this day and age.
Oh, sure. As people say, Australia is hard soil in terms of people wanting to listen about Jesus. Ironically, part of the reason is we're so blessed by God. Life is so good here that kind of ears are closed.
We're living in many ways on a different planet to Calvin's day, with hundreds of years of church history that's unfolded since then, good and bad. Mm-hmm. How do you replicate the kind of things that he did in 2013 and beyond?
The heart of John Calvin's ministry was taking the Bible really seriously. And if you follow Jesus, you'll have a great heart for those who are spiritually lost. And so part of the great challenge is to strip back all the traditions and the extra things that accumulate and see what's the heart of the Christian message. And how can we get rid of everything that's unessential, all the kind of cultural baggage? How can we kind of pare it all back to the essentials and engage with people in Australia? And you do that, and it works.
It may seem an obvious question, but it's an important one. How do you define, then, a church? What's it look like when you plant a church from scratch?
There's a group of people who meet together, who meet around the words of Jesus, take that seriously, set out to serve Jesus, and so we'll serve one another. Now, there's all sorts of different ways it can be done, and in terms of church, New Testament talks about putting the right people in positions of leadership rather than particular structures. Now, how to plant a church? In some ways, we're learning to do that all over again.
Yes.
People say to me, why do we need to plant new churches? There's churches everywhere. No, that's the wrong question. The question is, why did we ever stop? Now, this might, you'll probably say, thank you, Captain Obvious, when I say this, but every church in Australia began as a church plant.
Yes, okay? That's true. Yes.
Yeah. It's just we forget because, may God forgive us, we've built some of them out of sandstone, and bricks and so on. Some of our guys with Geneva Push are starting small. Like our little church started with six people in a lounge room, and we're doing it part-time, and we're just slowly growing. Others will pull together 40, 50 people with the backing of a mother church and kind of hit the ground running and, God willing, see quicker growth. And that's kind of a trade-off, how much resources you've got and so on.
So how does that work out in practice then?
What we do at Geneva is we're actually trying to help church planters, the couples, in a whole process. So we assess them, which is quite rigorous, to see whether they're wired up to do this. But then if we decide to back them, that God's called them to this, then we'll arrange for a coach for the first 3 years, someone who's an experienced planter to walk them through the process. As well as that, we kind of nurture them. We have a thing called the refresh, which is come and spend some time in a nice motel, some marriage input, romantic night together. That's not a hard sell. And then we arrange a network of peer support. And so it really is helping them through these first 3 to 5 years to get established. And then the aim is that these couples who are mature in that will be able to help the next generation. Now, we're not a denomination. We're a network of people who work together.
Is there a model?
Well, there's different models. If you wanted to start part-time with a small group like we have, you can grow slowly. You don't need $100,000 up front. You don't need a building. But the growth will be slower. There's other young guys who are really gifted and are able to raise enough money to pull together a whole salary, devote their full time to this, start with a significant core group, and have seen great growth. God's blessed them with multiple, you know, with maybe 100 or more people within a year or two.
If there's a spectator to the Christian faith listening and they hear you perhaps opening up a door to go to church and they might think, that's the last thing I would have thought of doing, mm-hmm. What would you say to them about why that might be a good idea?
I think Australians are still spiritually hungry. And in terms of the institutional church, most Aussies aren't too keen on the institutional church. But if you can talk to people one-to-one about the spiritual aspect of life, most people still believe there's more. Very few people are hardcore atheists. And so, interestingly, most people who come along to a church and hear about Jesus do so in the context of a friendship. They've been invited by people. One of the things about our church plants is those who begin in a launch group are very committed yep. to the growth and are keen to invite people. So, yeah, it's interesting. And people who come along, what we've found is people who come along and actually sit and hear the Bible explained clearly, people are surprised at how relevant the message is.
Those people who will come along as spectators of Christian faith will often come with a fair bit of baggage about dealing with either the church, institution, or especially Christian people. That's been my observation.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of people say, I've been hurt by Christians yes. previously, and I'm going to take that very seriously. Others, what about the institutional church and so on? I don't like religious people. And that's when I usually say, you think you had trouble with religious people, think what Jesus had to put up with.
Too right.
So yes. Keep trying to show people the difference between institutions and religion and Jesus.
It will demand that we probably do church differently, do you think?
Yes.
How?
Well, it's a matter of if we can look at our church meetings that we run from an outsider or a visitor's point of view, and then see what is it that gets in the way of people hearing the message. And one of them, actually, ironically, I think one of the biggest barriers to a church growing is unwillingness to change. Are we prepared to change what we do and how we do it, like the insiders, to be able to welcome people? And that actually means you've got to love people who haven't joined you yet.
Funny, that's what Jesus said too.
He talked a bit about love, didn't he?
Yeah. I've often wondered whether we've spent in the Christian community a lot of time talking to ourselves about what the rest of the world is like instead of listening, truly involving ourselves with those people, truly involving and loving them.
Yes. To actually love someone, to share your life with them, interesting, that's what Apostle Paul talks about doing quite a lot. There's a great cost involved. Yeah. So we've seen people... I work with City Bible Forum in the Sydney CBD. Someone said, we tell suits about Jesus. Often it will be 6, 8, 9, 12 months of someone being interested, finding out more, listening, before they're ready to become a Christian. That's a big personal involvement. And the Christian person who brings someone along, it means a long-term commitment to love and get to know and share your life with someone.
When you consider the stakes, that's still a small price to pay, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing more important to do.
I know you've had a particular passion for men connecting with the Christian faith. A few years ago, you wrote a book for them entitled Firing Through All of Life. Why do you think it's the case that church hasn't connected with lots of them in particular to the extent that there was another book written, Why Men Hate Going to Church?
Yeah, David Murrow.
Yeah.
I always thought about that book. I was amazed he fitted it into one volume.
That's probably a good point.
Yeah. Well, let me be politically incorrect.
Oh, yeah.
We've feminized the Christian faith. We sing Jesus is my boyfriend songs. We dress our church leaders in frocks. Blokes can't see how this relates. We've got to have men who lead churches and preach to men. Women too, but men who preach to men. I heard one bloke, big burly farmer one day out of a town called Ningen, say, you know, when I hear most ministers preach, they preach like they're preaching to women and kids, and then I look around and they are. We need to engage with men. Men want to follow Jesus, but you can't preach Jesus as come and be his boyfriend. Men want a CEO, a lord and master who courageously gave his life for them and calls them to sacrificially serve others. That's the gospel, and blokes respond to it.
What's it say about the men who are in church then?
There's a lot of good men in churches, a lot of good men. And there's a lot of good men's stuff that happen. Many of the churches I know have a lot of good men who encourage one another, serve the Lord Jesus, try to lead their families as well as they can and so on. And it's interesting, the nationally, 60% of church attenders are women, 40% men. But in churches that have strong men's ministry, have men who preach to men week by week, the numbers are 50-50, or sometimes even higher than that. So blokes respond when the gospel's preached, and Jesus is a leader of men. You've got to show that he really is that.
Do men need to do stuff?
Yeah, actually, that's true. Blokes want to fix things, do things, and so on. We say to guys, well, you know, be a Christian, but could you just sit on the bench over there and wait for Jesus to come back? You know, don't play with anything. What? You know. So, yeah, blokes want to do things. And not every bloke is, you know, kind of articulate and talks a lot. I know one church down in Wollongong had a backyard blitz, they'd call it, where they get blokes together and they would go and fix up the backyard, mow the lawns and someone for a lady, you know, who was a widow or an elderly lady or whatever. And blokes love to do that sort of stuff. To give blokes projects, to go and do things as well is important.
It's a juggle because I'm sure you're not saying, well, churches need to man up because that will be excluding so many women as well.
Oh, yeah. No, not all this macho chest-beating stuff. Interesting. Steve Bidolf, talking about the difference between men and boys. He said, the difference between a man and a boy is this. A boy thinks about himself. A man cares for other people. So you can be a 50-year-old boy. That's what we want Christian men to be like.
Protectors, providers.
Yeah. Yeah. And who will put their own needs behind the needs of others. Now, we get our churches like that where men love and care and look after one another. You get plenty of ladies very happy with that.
Maybe we should have more pig shooting former bishops. Reveal that side of your life.
The pig shooting thing, I live in the eastern suburbs and we prefer to call it eco-tourism now over there. It's great fun being out in the bush. And my dad brought me up with that. It's very hard to explain until you've been there, but it's great fun. It's like nothing else. I'm half deaf from it. And now I have a prenup agreement with my wife. She's 1 week a year out in the bush and she's happy with that. She's a good woman.
Okay. So you've been going since 2009 with the Geneva push. How many churches have you planted?
We've got 33 church planters on the job. We do assessments for people and some people we say, look, we don't think you're gifted for this. You're not quite wired up for it. We assess couples, husband and wife. But we've got 33 couples who should go and plant a church as they're planning. 33 started. We hope by the end of this year to have around 50. What we're seeing is that the network is growing. And so, you know, the first year we had 5 or 6, and each year the number grows. And that's right across Australia. I don't think we've got anyone in the Northern Territory, but churches started in every state.
How representative is the group across denominations?
I think we've got eight or nine different denominations. So we're not trying to be a denomination. We're a network that helps people start churches, and then those churches can belong to whatever denomination they want, or they can be independent.
In 10 years' time, where would you hope to be? This
hundreds
push?
Of churches. In fact, really, God willing, what we pray is that we would start churches that will start other churches, that will start churches. So it'll be geometric is the word we're looking for.
What will enable you to break through the culture and break through the baggage so that that might happen.
It's not techniques, it's not strategy, it's not planning. It's that people, Christian people, understand the gospel and love Jesus enough to put themselves out for others. It's as simple as that. People who are captivated by the love of Jesus and so will sacrificially love the lost.
Al Stewart, thank you so much indeed for joining us on Open House.
Pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.